Pag-uusapan ngayon ay nasa Josue 1 hanggang 18 or Joshua chapter 1 verses 1 through 18. I remember years ago when I was still a student sa seminary, I was enrolled sa isang subject that is really, really memorable sa akin. And yung subject na yon ay, ang tawag sa subject na yon ay preaching class or expository preaching class. So, sa loob ng klase na yon, katakot-takot po yung ginagawang preparation and reading and evaluation bago po sa actual preaching. Sa actual time na magpe-present kami ng aming sermon, may camera ho dyan at lahat ng mga prof namin sa iba-ibang department nandoon, ini-iskoran at ini-evaluate po kami. And after ng aming preaching, bibigay yung kanilang critiques at saka encouragements kung meron man at saka comments. Okay? So, naalala ko na sinabi rin ng aking prof, sa week na magkakaroon na ng preaching, kahit hindi ka nakaschedule, dapat tapos ka na sa iyong paghahanda. Para pag-attend mo ng magpe-present, you can participate and you can observe. Dumating na yung week na yon, hindi ako nakaschedule. I was, iniisip-isip ko na kung ano yung mga pwede kong gawin at hindi gawin dahil sa mga kaklase ko na naobserbahan ko. Until lumapit sa akin yung aking prof at sinabing, Alvin, yung third preacher, alam niyo na kung saan papunta to, ay hindi makakarating. Kagaya ng sinabi ko, dapat handa na tayo this week, you're up within 30 minutes. I could imagine the horror na naramdaman ko noong time na yon. So ang ginawa ko agad-agad, he's not asking by the way, he's telling me. Okay? So bumaba agad ako sa computer room. By the way, there was a computer room back then. Wala pa yung mga laptop noon. It was a computer room. Agad-agad ko sa aking thumb drive, pinrint ko kagad. Basta sige, saksak na lang ko anong papel doon. Noong time na yun, kanya-kanyang ngayon dalang papel. Kung na lang yung mga dala ko, sinaksak ko ron at ayun na. By the time na ako na magpipreach, I was anxious, I was nervous. At the same time, excited, medyo alam ko yung passage. I was the youngest sa aming sa batch ko, lahat yun mga senior pastor, and I was the youth pastor and I was really young, and there I was preaching away and with all enthusiasm, all lahat ng mga illustration na binigay ko, until pag-flip ko ng next page, to my shock, yung pinagprintan kong papel ay may nakaprint na. And pagsabi ko, and number 3. Basta kita ko, na-stress na ako dahil yung camera nakaganon yung pula. At biglang, and if you're a long-time preacher, which is yung mga prof ko, they know something's wrong. In short, saka, ay, time first. There's no time first, Mr. Litonwa. Preach on. And it did not land well. Ano na yung sinabi ko, hindi ko na alam kung paano ko niland yung eroplano. Ika nga yung term nila. But yung time na yun, it destroyed me. Okay? Of course, there was critiques after nun. They're trying to be encouraging, pero it doesn't feel encouraged. I don't feel encouraged. It was really memorable, and it was terrible. Okay? I faced an immediate transition. It was a transition that I do not want. It was a change that I was not ready to make. I was not ready. I felt totally inadequate. Friends, in life, there are transitions as well. Lahat tayo dumadaan sa changes and transitions. Some we plan, some we do not plan. Maaring kakakuha nyo lang ng trabaho dito sa Dubai and you are adjusting sa work, sa mga katrabaho ninyo. Sa commute, or maybe bago ho kayo dito sa Dubai and you are adjusting sa culture, nag-a-adjust kayo sa init, nararamdaman nyo nakakaiba rin ang init dito. Or maybe you're in a transition, ay kakakasal mo lang. And you're going through the transition of knowing your spouse even more. Or maybe you are a new parent. May parating kang baby and now it's somehow a transition na hinaharap mo. Maybe job-related ang transition mo, kaka-promote mo lang. And you are so overwhelmed probably sa mga tasks na binigay ho sa inyo. Or maybe yung transition mo ay medyo tragic. may sakit na dumapo sa pamilya ninyo, and from there it's causing so much stress and financial crunches. Or maybe your child has reached an age na kung saan was totally rebelling, totally disrespectful, and it's such a transition na hindi mo alam kung anong gagawin mo. Or maybe a loved one died. Or maybe you're a young person right now, you're moved to a different school, bagong campus, and it's stressing you out. Series of transitions, series of changes. Friends, how do you respond to transitions or changes that God gives to your life? Do you respond in fear or anxiety or doubts? Or maybe you're the person that you just want to go out and quit. Are you overwhelmed and you think that God, maybe you made a mistake at nilagay mo ako dito? Ngayong hapon na ito, ang message po na pag-passage sa pag-aaralan po natin is also yung characters is in a transition. Nasa kalagitnaan siya ng change. Isang transition na isang tanyag and well-loved na leader ng Israel. At matatagpuan po ito yun sa Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, which is yung binasa ho ni Flor kanina. If you have your Bibles with you, please open to Joshua chapter 1. It is in the Old Testament. It is from after the Pentateuch, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, 6th book. As you go there, let me give you a little background. Ang book of Joshua ay ang una sa 12 historical books ng Old Testament. It serves as a bridge book or a link o tulay ng Pentateuch or yung Torah or yung first 5 books ni Moses at yung remainder history ng Israel. So yan po yung nagtatawid. Para siya yung book of Acts sa New Testament. Na it starts with the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Acts is the bridge papunta ho sa mga epistles. Ang book of Joshua ay ang pinagigitnaan ng panahon ng Israel wandering at yung mismong panahon na nakatira na sa Promised Land sa Old Testament. Sa storya ng Exodus, si Moses ang ginamit ng Panginoon to lead Israel out of Egypt. Sa storya naman ni Joshua, siya ang ginamit ng Panginoon to lead Israel papasok ng Canaan or ng Promised Land. Si Joshua, which is yung character na gusto na natin pag-usapan ngayon, ang original name niya is Hosea. Hosea means salvation, na matatagpuan sa Numbers chapter 13 verse 8. Pero pinalitan po ito ni Moses na ngayon na pinalitan niya from Hosea to Yehoshua. Na ang ibig sabihin, Yahweh is my salvation. Si Joshua ay pinanganak at lumaki na isang alipin sa Egypto. Sumama ho siya kay Moses nung pinalaya na siya ni Pharaoh sa Egypt at kasama ang ibang mga Israelites papunta ho sa Promised Land. Isa ho siya sa mga 12 spies na pinadala ni Moses para i-check yung lupang pangako. At dalawa siya, nakasama niya si Caleb, ang nagsabi, kaya natin sakupin ito. Samantalang yung sampo, naduwag at nagduda at sinasabing hindi natin kaya sakupin dahil mga higante yung mga tao sa Promised Land. Okay? Siya po ay ang assistant ni Moses. Ang kanang kamay niya, he is Moses' apprentice. Isa siyang mahusay na sundalo at isang tapat na kaibigan na kilalang kilala na si Moses. After po palayain ni Pharaoh ang mga Israelitas at bumabiyahe na sila papunta sa Promised Land na dapat maiksing biyahe lang at dahil sa kanilang disobedience and rebellion sa Panginoon, a short trip to the Promised Land became 40 years papunta sa Promised Land. Fast forward, eto na po ang storya. Ngayon, after years of waiting and waiting, nakarating na sila sa border ng Promised Land. Natatanaw na nila ang Promised Land, yung buong nation. We're not just talking about 500 people, we're talking about a country of people. Napakadami po. At ang nagpapahati lang sa kanila papunta sa Promised Land ay yung Jordan River. Okay? They are now on the verge of crossing the Jordan River to possess the land that the Lord promised them. This is an exciting time among Israelites. They had been looking forward to this day. Now it's just a few kilometers away. Natatanong na nila. Kaso, the only thing that is missing sa exciting event na ito, sa pagtawid nila, ay si Moses. Wala si Moses noong time na yun. Bakit? Kasi kamamatay lang ni Moses during this time. Sa mata ng mga Israelita, isang malaking problema ito. The man who led them out of Egypt, led them through the wilderness, the spiritual leader, the mediator between them and God, the military commander, at ang mangmama na kung saan nakitaan nila ng iba't ibang klaseng kababalaghan na galing sa Panginoon. Ngayon ay patay na. They are now to move forward for the first time without their leader. First time. They are to enter the promised land without Moses. I could have imagined yung mga tanungan na nangyayari sa nation na ito during that time. Marali ito yung mga sinasabi nila. Sino ngayon ang mangunguna sa atin papunta sa promised land? Patay na si Moses. Ano ang sagot ng Panginoon dito? Ang sagot ng Panginoon, Joshua. Si General Joshua ang magli-lead sa inyo papunta sa promised land. This is an exciting time for Israel but also a dreadful one because they will enter a land and take possession of it at ang leader nila hindi si Moses kung hindi yung baguhan na si Joshua. Could you imagine yung doubts and fear? And by the way, they're still grieving during this time. So there's a lot of uncertainties, hindi po ba? Kaya sa chapter 1, tatlong beses binanggit ng Panginoon kay Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Because God's promises will not fail. He is faithful in fulfilling His promises to His people. As God calls Joshua, as God calls people, God's people, as God calls us to be strong and courageous, God also strengthens us. God does not command us to be strong and courageous without strengthening us. If you're in a season of transition right now, be strong and courageous. Ika nga ng isang tanyag na theologian nung unang panahon na ang pangalan niya si Augustine of Hippo. Ang sabi niya, Lord, command what you will and will what you have command. Ano ibig sabihin niya nito? In short, ang sinasabi niya, Panginoon, ipag-utos mo kung anong iyong ninanais at kalooban mo kami ng grasya ninyo upang masakatuparan ito. In short, he's saying, Lord, kung ano yung pinag-utos mo, sige, ipag-utos mo sa amin, pero bigyan nyo kami ng sapat na lakas para gampanan ito. Yun ang ginagawa ng Panginoon kay Joshua. God commands, God says, be bold, be strong, be courageous, and at the same time, I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. When God commands us to do certain things, He strengthens and empowers us to do the task. Tandaan nyo po yan. When God leads us, He provides sufficient grace for us to do the task. But the question is, how does one become strong and courageous? Pastor, duwag ako eh. In fact, ang inginig na nga ako sa hinaharap naming sitwasyon ngayon, yung pagbabago. How does one become strong in obedience? There's one thing na natatakot ka. Also, pag ikaw ay natatakot at papanik, nandun na rin natutokso ka magkasala, hindi ba? How does one become strong in obedience in the midst of things na hindi sure? How does God strengthen His servants? Well, God strengthens His servants through His promises, presence, precept, and people to boldly accomplish His will. Yun yung main point natin ngayong hapon na ito. God strengthens His servants through His promises, presence, precepts, and people to boldly accomplish His will. With that, we have four points. Number one, medyo mahaba. God strengthens His servants through His promise. Pinatatag ng Diyos ang kanyang lingkod sa pamamagitan ng kanyang pangako. Verses 1 to 3. Number 2, God strengthens His servant through His presence. Pinatatag ng Diyos ang kanyang lingkod sa pamamagitan ng kanyang presensya. Verses 4 to 6. Number 3, God strengthens His servant through His precepts. Pinatatag ng Diyos ang kanyang lingkod sa pamamagitan ng kanyang salita. Verses 7 to 9. And number 4, God strengthens His servants through His people. Pinatatag ng Diyos ang kanyang lingkod sa tulong ng iba niyang mga lingkod. Verse 10 to 18. Number 1, umpisaan ho natin dito. God strengthens His servant through His promise. God strengthened the Israelites by reminding them of His promise. Yun ang ginagawa ng Panginoon dito. Ano ba ang pinangako ng Diyos sa kanila? God promised the Israelites a land, a property, a huge, rich, beautiful property. All the way back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, yun yung pangako na bigay kay Abraham. God promised the land of Canaan sa mga magiging descendants o kaapu-apuhan ni Abraham. Kagaya nga ng aking binanggit, after 40 years of wandering sa desert dahil sa disobedience nila, they are finally inches away sa pangako na lupa na ipagkakalob sa kanila ng Panginoon. Yun nga lang, kagaya na nabanggit ko rin kanina, ang problema ay may transition na nangyari. There was a change of leadership. Hindi na ito yung dati naming kilalang leader na gumagabay sa amin na may mga kababalaghan. Hindi namin, well, kilala namin si Joshua, yung mga anak namin, magkaibigan, nakita, matikas naman ito, pero hindi ko alam sa leadership ng isang bansa. Paano ba siya? This is a huge transition. Tignan yung transition sa verse 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. The man who led them out of Egypt and in the wilderness died. Upang mas ma-appreciate natin ang reference ng pagkamatay ni Moses, kailangan natin maunawaan kung gaano kawalang katulad itong mamang ito. Kasi there's no one like Moses, kagaya ng sinabi sa Deuteronomy. Sa Exodus chapter 32, verse 9 to 10, don't go there, I'll just explain sa inyo. Dapat pupuksain ni Yahweh ang buong nation ng Israel. Bakit? Kasi sumamba sila sa golden calf. At hindi lang sila sumamba sa golden calf, sila yung gumawa nun at sinabi nila, mga kaibigan, ito ang nagpalaya sa atin sa Egypt. Di galit na galit ang Panginoon ngayon. Ang sabi na pa, you know, Moses, tabi ka dyan, wawasakin ko itong lahi na ito, walang matitira rito. Because they worship a god, small g, at ito raw nagpalaya sa kanila. Moses acted as a mediator between the Israel and God and pleaded to God. Nasabi niya, Lord, spare them for your name's sake. Huwag mo silang wasakin. Ano na lang ang sasabihin ng mga tao sa promised land na walang kwenta yung mga tao na to kasi winasak ng Diyos nila mismo. For your name's sake, spare them. And God did spare them. Sabi sa Deuteronomy 34:10 hanggang 12, and there has now not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and wonders that the Lord set him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. Wala raw katulad tong mamang ito. Basta ang mga sa pag-iisip ng mga Israelites, basta kasama natin itong mama na ito, kasama natin si Moises, kampante ako. Basta kasama ko si Moises, wala tayong problema. Wala akong naiintindihan. Hindi tayo lalagay yung mamang yan, hindi tayo lalagay sa alanganin yan. Kaya kampante kami. Kaso, namatay. Paano yan? You could have imagined how devastating, how discouraging, confusing, horrifying. It was the nation of Israel. Sanay sila na ito yung mama na ito nagli-lead sa amin. Bagamat, na-inform naman talaga sila na mamamatay si Moses sa Deuteronomy chapter 31, hindi ito dapat sorpresa, pero iba pa din ang impact nung nangyari na. Ramdam na ramdam nila ang pagkawala ni Moses. Marahil na nagbubulay-bulay na mga Israelita at sinasabi nila, naku, paano na ang pangako ng Diyos? Napako na. Wala na yung mamang ito. Patay na si Moises. Malamang ang pangako ng Panginoon sa atin ay binitaw ng Panginoon ay wala na, kinalimutan na niya. Mga kaibigan, here's one important principle na dapat natin matutunan at maunawaan sa verse na ito. Maaring patay na si Moises, pero hindi pa patay si Yahweh. Moses may well be dead, but God's promises lives on. The work of God, and listen to this, the work of God is not dependent on one man. I remember I have friends nasa Pilipinas. They were sharing to me, pinag-aral ako ni Kuya. Si Kuya nagbabayad ng bahay namin. Si Kuya nagsagot sa aming debu at kasal. Si Kuya namatay. Paano na kami? And they were really devastated. I'm trying to be encouraging, but after a few years, nasabi ko, it was not the Kuya who is directly supporting you. It was God through your Kuya. God chose your Kuya for a time as a means of provision. Pero yung ultimate provider is Yahweh. What are you holding on right now na sinasabi mo, pag nawala na ito, patay na ako? Remember, it is Yahweh who provides security, comfort, and provision. Ang mga promises at purposes ng Panginoon ay hindi nakasentro, hindi nakaangkla sa tao. Kahit gaano pagkakagifted, kahit gaano pa kagaling itong tao na ito, ni hindi po ito nagwawakas sa kanilang pagkamatay. Hindi nakaangkla, hindi nakaasa ang Panginoon dyan. Pinapakita ng Panginoon na hindi siya dependent on one man para masakatuparan ang kanyang kalooban. Men of God die, but the promises, the purposes, and the work of God will not die with them. It will continue on. Why? Bakit, Pastor? It's easy because God is sovereign. And it's not a stretch ng passage nandito sa verse 2. I am giving to them. You see that? I. It's Yahweh who is going to give them the promised land. Ang emphasis po dito ay yung sovereignty ni Yahweh. Siya ang magsasakatuparan ng kanyang mga pangako at purposes sa kanyang mga anak. Friends, isang mapagkumbabang paalaala sa atin po ito bilang isang church. Ang church ni Jesus Christ ay hindi nakasentro o nakaangkla sa pastor. Hindi nakasentro sa programa. Hindi nakasentro sa mga gifted o mayayamang na miyembro ng church. Ang church ni Jesus Christ ay nakasentro at nakaangkla kay Jesus Christ mismo. We have to be careful sa paniniwala na kapag wala ang presensya natin para maglingkod, para magkaloob, para magturo, para mag-counsel, ay walang mangyayari sa gawain ng Panginoon. Naku, pag wala ako dyan, paano na lang? Di ba? Naku, pag hindi ako pupunta dito, hindi ko tutulungan, hindi ako magbibigay, mapapariwara ang buhay nito. Paano mabibless ang ministry pag wala ako? Naririnig ko ba natin ito? These are the reasons why there are people who are having a hard time giving up yung organ ministry. Walang gumagalaw ng organ. I know churches na kung saan, bless her heart, for the past 50 years, siya pa rin. Why? Because walang gagalaw ng organ. Ako lang. For those of you who are serving the ministry, do you feel the same way? Be reminded that this is the Lord's work. Kailangan ho natin, we have to be careful sa paniniwala na ito, na maling paniniwala na ito. Be reminded that this is the Lord's work. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. That's Jesus Christ. Tandaan po natin na hindi po tayo kailangan ng Diyos. Hindi ka kailangan ng Diyos. Praise God, ginagamit tayo ng Diyos. Tayo may kailangan sa Diyos. But if we try to act like God, Lord, paano ka na kung wala ako?
Sino magpapakanta dyan? Sino magpipreach dyan? Sino mag-manage, Lord, pag wala ako?
Stepping side away from the ministry?
Paano na lang ako, yung mga sinusuporta sa Pilipinas? Kawawa naman sila. And maybe you are the source of funds sa Philippines. Praise God for the ability and resources for that.
But I want to communicate this to you. If you're already sending funds, kahit hindi mo na-afford, and you're getting it in ways na kung saan hindi mo kaya bayaran, don't do it. God will care for them. Turuan niyo sila. You are not God. And sometimes we like that. We love that.
That's why pag-uwi natin sa Pilipinas, parang bidang-bida yung OFW. Reunion, libre, merienda, dinner. Wala na akong pera, kaskasan na lang natin to. Pag-uwi sa bahay, pag-uwi sa Dubai, kawawa naman.
You're not the Savior. You should be the servant that points to the Savior.
God doesn't need us. Tandaan po natin po ito. Kaya niyang gumamit
ng ibang tao upang masakatuparan ang kanyang pangako at kalooban. This is not my church. This is Jesus' church. If God takes me home tomorrow, magtutuloy ito as the Lord pleases. Not maybe ibang way, but magtutuloy. Kung galing sa Panginoon ito, magtutuloy ito. God doesn't need me. He needs me. He wants to use me for a time. We should be humbled that God chose us for a time to fulfill His purposes. At hindi dapat magyabang. At yon ang pinararating niya kay Josue. Tingnan niyo sa verse 2 to 3. That's why ito yung sinabi niya, "Thou therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses."
Na teka muna, kung bibilisan mo to, parang hindi natin makukuha. Ang totoo niya, he's still grieving.
Usually 45 days, 50 days, ang grieving na yun ng Jews.
Isang buwan pa lang nakakalipas. Sa Panginoon kasi, well, hindi naman sa malamig ang Diyos o walang pakialam ang Diyos.
Why? Because Moses served his purpose.
Ang purposes ng Panginoon ay magtutuloy.
"Even place the sole of your foot will tread upon I have given to you."
Ano ibig sabihin niyan? Ito po ay isang metaphorical expression na ang ibig sabihin ay
gaining ownership of the land as one walks through it. God is affirming His promises to the people. Pinapaalalahanan ni Yahweh na hindi niya kinalimutan ang kanyang mga pangako sa kanyang mga anak. Kay Abraham, ang gagamitin ni Josue upang masakatuparan ito, siya ang gagamitin ng Panginoon upang masakatuparan ngayon ang kanyang kaloob. God reminds them of His promise to embolden them to take steps of faith. Emboldens them. In the same way, friends, God also is reminding us to dwell in His precious promise that one day, ito yung promise ng Panginoon, ito yung precious promise ng Panginoon, one day, God will not just give us a land, but the whole earth. For those of you who do not know that, for those who have a relationship with God, ang pangako ng Panginoon is not a land, hindi yung hinuhulugan mong property sa Pilipinas, kundi the whole earth. Okay, nasa Romans chapter 4 po yan. An earth that hindi itong yung state ng earth ngayon. An earth that has been restored, consummated, perfected, with resurrected bodies na hindi na magkakasakit, hindi na manghihina. In the end, everything belongs to the people of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Be encouraged. Friends, with these glorious promises that are before us, we too should be emboldened to take steps of faith para sa Panginoon. What steps of faith do you and your family need to take sa season ng life ninyo ngayon? What steps of faith? Is God leading you to start doing something? Maybe it's time to invite a loved one to church. Maybe it's time to risk it. Magagalit yon. Maybe as a church, I mean, I love this place. Dito tayo nilagay ng Panginoon. Is God, do you think, is leading us to go to a different location out sa Deira in order to reach more souls? Is that a step of faith na kailangan natin gawin as a church? Or maybe yung step of faith mo is not starting something, but God wanted you to stop something. What areas in your life that you need to stop doing by faith? Hindi ko kaya, Pastor, eh, by faith. May bisyo ka ba? Na inaalipin ka? Na binubutas na ang sikmura mo? Sinusunog na ang baga mo? Pati ang bulsa mo? Remember, friends, well, Pastor, well, pagbigyan nyo na ako rito, ito na nga lang yung kaaliwang ko eh. At saka wala naman ako ibang sinasaktan na tao. Friends, listen. Sin doesn't just destroy you. It destroys everyone around you. Especially loved ones. Sila ang directly affected dito. What do you need to surrender kay Lord? Number two, God strengthens His servant through His presence. Through His presence. Hindi lang sa promise, kundi sa presence. Verse 4 to 6. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to your fathers. Again, sinabi ng Panginoon kay Moses, just as I was with Moses, okay, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Napakagandang pangako na yan. Mga kaibigan, napakahalaga ng pangako na ito. Sa Exodus chapter 12, nung tinawag ni Yahweh si Moises para humarap kay Pharaoh para pakawalan ng people of Israel, etong sinabi ni Yahweh, I will be with you. Sa Exodus chapter 33 naman, nung pinatuloy ng Panginoon si Moises, pinatutuloy niya si Moises at ang mga Israelita upang sakupin at i-conquer ang promised land, sabi ng Panginoon, dahil kayo rebelde, sige, mauna na kayo, pauunahin ko na lang yung anghel, pero hindi ako sasama sa inyo dahil stiff-necked people kayo. Anong nagkaroon ng pagluluksa ang sambayan ng Israel? Anong ginawa ni Moses? Moses intercedes and pleads on behalf of the people. Lord, we will not go if you will not go. Ano sinabi sa verse 14? Presence, my presence will go with you. Ang Diyos na nangako kay Moses ng care, guidance, protection, and provision is the same God who is assuring Joshua the same things. Moses died, but Yahweh still lives and does not change. He is still Yahweh, the God of the present. Yahweh, the self-existing one, the great I am. At sa katiyakang ito, sinabihan ni Yahweh si Josue 3 times. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Maybe you need to hear that right now. Maybe hindi lang 3 times, ano? Sa hinaharap ninyo ngayon. Hindi sasabihin ni Yahweh kay Josue na to be bold and courageous dahil meron siyang military experience. Okay. Be strong and courageous kasi nakita ko yung mga kamada mo doon nung nakaraan na gera. Gamitin mo lang yun, okay tayo, hindi yun. Yun ang dahilan. He's not saying, telling Joshua, be strong and courageous kasi meron siya mga skill set o magaling siyang tactician, hindi yun. Bagamat meron siya nun. He was told to be strong and courageous ayon sa verse na to, because what? God is with him. Isn't that enough comfort? Kasama mo ang Diyos. Sino para harap sa'yo? Let that sink in for a while. If kasama mo ang Diyos, sino pa makakaharap sa'yo? Sino tataob sa'yo? Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Bakit pa ulit-ulit sinasabi din ng Panginoon? Kasi si Joshua is scared. He's scared. Hindi ulit-ulitin ng Panginoon ko, hindi nararamdaman. Yung boldness does not mean the absence of fear. Marami po silang dahilan para mangamba, by the way. Maraming dahilan. Pagpunta nila ng Promised Land, pagtawid ng Jordan, marami. Dahil ang mga tao sa Canaan, sa Promised Land, were there for centuries. Matagal na ho sila. When the 12 spies came back from their scout, from the Promised Land, 10 of them negatively reported na mga higante ang mga tao ron. Para lang tayong tipaklong, durugin lang tayo si Joshua at si Caleb na sabi, hindi, kaya natin, pa, kaya natin yun. Huh? They're not trying to be enthusiastic because they know there is a God who is bigger than the giants. The Promised Land was populated by many strong armed people living in fortified cities, sending Israel's inexperienced, lack of experience army is a suicide mission. Wala silang experience sa war. 40 years na nasa desierto. So-so years na alipin. Mga ilang digmaan ng konti pero hindi gera. He's talking about 7 mighty nations who are well-equipped, well-experienced, who knows the art of killing. At sino sila? Ilang taon silang paikot-ikot sa desert? 40 years. I think that's enough reason for them to be terrified. Yet God affirms His promise to them by saying, di ko kayo iwan. Kung kayo lumaki sa mga pinagkalakihan ko, tambay ako sa mga kalsada, at pag na, and I'm not proud of this, kapag kami mapapainkwentro sa away, rumesbak yung kaaway namin, ang usually sabi, oh, walang iwanan ha, walang iwanan. Which is, it's an assurance na kahit bugbog tayo, hindi tayo mag-iiwanan. Well, ang kagandaan na sa Panginoon, pag sinabing hindi kita iiwan, hindi kayo mabubugbog. He's assuring His presence. Now, let me back up a little bit. I'm not saying that when you have God's presence, it's free from hurts, free from suffering. There will be. Yeah, that's true. Probably that's a bad illustration. Pero ang point ko lang dito, He will provide you sufficient grace to endure. And His presence. The Promised Land is populated by strong men, but they have a strong God. Maring nandito ka ngayon at sinasabi mo, Pastor, wala atang kinalaman sa akin yung tineshare mo ngayon. Tignan po natin ang Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 to 6. Tignan natin yung pangako na to in light sa Hebrews chapter 3, 5, and 6. Sabi ho dito, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For He said, here comes the quotation from Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do to me. Sa passage po sa Hebrews, makikita natin ang pangako ng Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. Itong passage sa New Testament, ginamit ang Joshua chapter 1 verse 5 and ginawa niyang applicable sa sitwasyon ng mga Kristiyano ngayon. The promise of God's presence sa Joshua chapter 1 is also, sa present time ng Christians ngayon, is also for us the solution to fight the love of money. Paano nangyari yun? At ang solution po to fight the love of money is contentment. A contentment which comes from trusting God's promised provisions. God will care for our practical needs. Pwede nyo makita ho yan sa, if you want to review that, nasa Hebrews 13, 5-6 yan. Ginamit niya, direct quotation kay Joshua. Now, pwede din natin panghawakan itong pangako na ito as we take bold steps in sharing the gospel. Yung pangako na ito. Because Jesus said sa Matthew 28, He gave the great commission, go and make disciples of all nations. And ano sinabi niya sa verse 19? I am with you always to the end of the age. You can be bold in sharing the gospel. Of course, you must do this with wisdom and care. Napaka-importante for us bilang Kristiyano na mapaalalahanan ng Panginoon ay paulit-ulit na lalo na sa ganitong constant changing circumstances natin na ang ating buhay na hindi niya tayo iiwan o pababayaan. Maybe you're in a transition or a change right now na hindi mo gusto. Maybe you caused it. Or maybe somebody caused it for you. And there are some certain offers sa'yo na para makalabas ka sa sitwasyon na ito, hindi mo naman kailangan mapunta dyan eh. Basta gawin mo na to, akong bahala sa'yo. Basta gawin mo lang to. And we know na mali ito. So dapat kailangan natin paalalahanan ng sarili natin na sinabi ng Panginoon, hindi niya tayo iiwan at pababayaan. At sana man natin paulit-ulit makikita at madidinig sa salita ng Diyos na ito. Well, number three answers that question. Makikita ito sa salita ng Diyos. God's strengthens His servant through His precepts. Pinatatatag ng Diyos ang kanyang lingkod sa pamamagitan ng kanyang salita. Verse 7. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Kagaya po na nabanggit natin, God commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous 3 times. Verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. Paulit-ulit ng Panginoon sinasabi ito, hindi lang dahil ang lupang pangako ay punong-puno ng strong, well-trained, and armed people and fortified cities. Hindi lang yun ang dahilan. Kung hindi, mahigit pa dyan kung bakit paulit-ulit. Ang lupang pangako ay punong-puno din po ng mga tao na sumasamba sa Diyos-Diyosan. Kung hindi sila magiging strong and courageous enough na manindigan sa salita ng Diyos, maaari ang puso nila ay mahulog sa mga Diyos-Diyosan ng lupaing iyon. Ang digmaan sa lupang pangako ay hindi lamang digmaang militar, kung hindi digmaang pang-spiritual. Not just to win exterior battles, but also to win internal battles. Throughout the Old Testament, ang kadalasang kinababagsak ng mga Israelita ay yung hindi pagsunod sa Diyos. Ang kadalasang kinababagsak nila ay yung pagrebelde nila kay Yahweh. Pagkahulog sa kasalanan, takot at kasakiman, sexual immorality, yun ang kinababagsak nila. Maaari siguro ang dahilan kung bakit sinimula ng manunulat ng libro ng Joshua ang pagkamatay ni Moises, yun yung first part ng book ng Joshua, ay para mapaalalahanan si Josue at ang mga Israelita ang kahihidatnan ng kanilang sitwasyon kung sila ay patuloy na magre-rebelde sa Diyos. It could be a reminder. Remember Moses, si Moses na yun, nagrebelde sa akin, patay. Ang law or book of the law dito ay maaaring yung tinatawag na Torah. First 5 books. They must have courage to keep the law, to stand and fight for what is right and pleasing sa harapan ni Yahweh. Bilang mga Kristiyano, tayo po din ay may malakas na kaaway na humahadlang sa atin as we take bold steps of obedience para sa Panginoon. Sino yung mga kaaway natin, Pastor? It's also external and internal. Tatlo po sila. Number one, sub-points. Kalaban natin ay ang kamunduhan. Kamunduhan. It is hindi po ito yung created world, but a powerful evil system that is constantly in opposition against God, na kung saan si Satanas po ang namumuno. Siya po yung nagtutukso, nagseseduce, inilalayo yung affections natin sa Panginoon kung hindi sa kamunduhan. Pangalawa, hindi lamang ang kamunduhan ang ating kalaban, ang kasakiman ng laman ang ating kaaway. Kasakiman ng laman. John chapter 2 verse 16, nabanggit ang lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes. Ang ibig sabihin po nito ay yung uncontrollable desires to have more and more, or to have something or someone that is not yours to be taken. Yun po yun. Ang tawag dun is covetousness. When we start coveting someone else's skills, someone else's position, someone else's possession, someone else's physical appearance, someone else's children, if we start to covet someone else's spouse, ang tawag po dyan ay lust of the eye. Kung ang lust of the flesh is covet, if ang lust of the eye is coveting what we do not have. Ang pride of life naman refers to the boasting of what we do have. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, isa lang po sinasabi niyan, idolatry, rebellion. Pag tayo po ay napunta doon, yung galit ng Panginoon nandun din. Nandyan ang kamunduhan, kasakiman ng laman, at pangatlo, kaaway. Sino kaaway? John 10:10, Satan. Si Satanas. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to steal and destroy your purity. He comes to kill and destroy your name as a Christian. He is out to kill, steal, and destroy your family, your marriage, your everything that God has gifted you that is good. These are our Canaanites. These are the giants and walled cities that we must fight. Most importantly, we can fight to win. Pwede natin paglabanan ito na may tagumpay. We can fight with confidence. Why? Because we know that Christ has already won the definitive battle for us. He defeated the world. He defeated the flesh. He defeated Satan when He died on the cross for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. And the means by which God has given us to counter itong lies na ito is what? That's a verse 8. It's the Word. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. Three things ang sinabi sa atin, instructions about the Word of God. One, proclaim God's Word. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mind. It means talk about the Word of God. If you are with loved ones, talk about God and His Word. Number two, meditate on it day and night. We're not just to talk about God's Word. We are to think about God's Word. As we read God's Word, kaya yung binasa ni Bon kanina, di ba? Hindi lamang dapat natin, we talk about the Word, hindi lang natin dapat pinagbubulay-bulayan. We should also obey the Word. We should be doers of the Word. We should live God's Word. This command was given specifically kay Joshua. Si Joshua, binigay po sa kanya. The Israelites' military and spiritual leaders. And I want you to listen to this part. Kung si Joshua, na sobrang busy, na nagpapatakbo ng isang bansa, na kung saan directly siya nakikipagtalastasan kay Yahweh, ay kinakailangan pa rin magbasa, magmeditate, ipamuhay ang salita ng Diyos. Then paano pa tayo? Si Joshua na yun. Pwede sabihin, Joshua, well, may mga naman kami nag-uusap ng Panginoon. No, God says, do not let the book of this law depart from you. Verse 8, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. As Joshua obeys God's commands, ang promise ng Panginoon is prosperity and success. Anong ibig sabihin nun, Pastor? Does this mean if we read, meditate, at pinamuhay natin sa salita ng Diyos, magkakaroon ako ng success sa career? Maggagaling ako sa aking karamdaman? Mapopromote ako? Magkakaroon ako na ng kabayaran ng aking mga utang? Yun ba yun, Pastor? Well, in its immediate context, it means Joshua will be successful and be blessed in all of his military campaigns as long as he faithfully obeys God's Word. Okay? As under Mosaic covenant pa rin ho ito. If he follows God, there's blessing. If he disobeys God, there are curses. For us Christians, reading, meditating, and living God's Word is a means by which we can grow in the knowledge and wisdom of God. Now, when we get to know more about God and what He has done, our hearts are stirred towards Christ. And when our mind and our hearts are stirred, it will affect the way we live. And pag dumating yung mga transitions, dumating yung temptations sa ating buhay, by the mercies of God, He uses the Word na nilagay niya sa iyo to fight it well. Prosperous and successful sa harapan ng Diyos. Number 4 and last. God strengthens His servant through His people. Verse 10 to 18. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp, and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over the Jordan to go into the possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of your Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this. Verse 15, until the Lord gives you rest to your brothers as He has to you, then they also take possession of the land that the Lord God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant, the Lord of God, gave you beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise. Ano ibig sabihin nito? Ano nangyayari dito? After God gave Joshua His commands, without delay, He immediately commanded the officers of Israel to prepare their supplies. Kasi within 3 days, ay sasakupin na natin itong lugar na to, tatawirin natin ang Jordan. Okay? So, simula ng conquest. Now, yung verses 12 to 15, nabanggit yung mga tribes ng Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Ano ito? Ang storya po nito ay ganito. Sila ay natanggap na nila yung inheritance sa east of Jordan. Natanggap na nila kasi nakiusap sila kay Moses. So, nandun sila sa border ho mismo ng Jordan River, sa east side ng Jordan, kasi yung tatlong tribes na to, sila yung mga pinakamalaming hayop at saka mga tupa. At yung lugar na yon ay napakataba ng lupa, maganda yung mga damo, nakasettle na yung kanilang mga alaga, nakiusap na sila na ipagkaloob na ni Moses sa kanila ito. Pumayag naman si Moses. By the way, nasa Numbers chapter 32, Deuteronomy chapter 3 po itong kwento na ito. And ito po yung nangyari. Sabi ni Moses, pero may isa akong kondisyon. Kapag kinakailangan na kayo ng Israel para sakupin yung promised land, ipadala ninyo yung mga mama ninyo na kaya lumaban. Yun ang kasunduan. Here comes Joshua coming to them and trying to remind them yung pangako nila kay Moses. Kasi ito na yung panahon na makikipagdigmaan tayo. Ang punto po dito, anong punto dito? Anong application dito? Ang punto na nakikita natin dito is partnership. Partnership. Joshua now, with full confidence, know that God would provide him victory. Instead of taking all the responsibilities and blessing to and for himself, he included others. Sinama niya ang ibang mga anak ng Diyos so that they would be blessed as well. Kung alam niya na magkakaroon siya ng tagumpay, mabibless siya ng Panginoon, di isinama pa niya yung iba. Come, be blessed. God wants all His children to be involved in the work that He has prepared for them. Alam mo, hindi ko maiwasan na hindi makita po yung Ephesians chapter 4 sa New Testament po dito. That talks about that the body of Christ or the church is built up of different parts, but each one are committed to grow and mature and edify the body of Christ. In short, sa Ephesians chapter 4, may iba-ibang klaseng gifting sa ang mga member ng church. Yung gifting ni George, hindi pareho ng gifting ni Reynante. Ang gifting ni Reynante, hindi pareho ni Clara. So lahat yan ay iba-ibang klaseng giftings, pero pinagkaloob ng Panginoon is for what purpose? So that the church, one body of Christ, si Christ ang ulo, na kung saan they will encourage, mature, strengthen one another, correct and rebuke one another. Yun ang nakikita po natin dito. It's a partnership. Friends, for those of us who have been members of this church for a while, have you been using your God-given gifts in order to grow, mature, and edify someone in Christ? Or maybe you're not using your God-given gifts. Or maybe are you using your God-given gifts to self-serving purposes? Alam po ba ninyo na kapag hindi natin ginamit ang gifts na pinagkaloob sa atin ng Panginoon sa kanyang iglesia, it could rob you and the rest of the body of Christ at Crossroads of the blessing that God desires to give. Every time we refuse to serve our brothers and sisters or choose not to come to church even, we are actually doing a great damage sa body ni Christ. If you see a brother or sister who is sinning and choose to be silent, is damaging. If we see a brother or a sister who is growing in the faith and we're not encouraging, damage in the body of Christ. Ayoko pumunta ng church ngayon kasi maririnig ko naman yan sa internet eh. Why do you go to church, friends? We always say this because this is what Christ would do. Christ came to the world not to be served, but to serve. We Christians, little Christ, we should be imaging Christ, should come to church not to look, not hoping to be served, but to serve. Your absence, which means ayoko mag-serve. By now, siguro, yung equation, naintindihan mo na wala ka sa equation ng Panginoon. It's love God and love others. Mark 12:30, the first and greatest commandment, second greatest commandment. Eh, paano ako, pastor? Eh, paano ikaw? Eto tayo, we deserve nothing. We deserve worse. Pero Christ died for our sins. Tinubos tayo sa kasalanan. And now this life right now is now living out of gratitude sa Panginoon. Kaya wag na natin tanungin paano ako. We're almost done. And I know a little bit over time here. Remember that the people of God is still grieving over the loss of this great leader and are horrified with the future that it holds. But Joshua approached them and encouraged them to be obedient and useful for God's purposes. And their response, and encouraging response nila sa verse 16 to 18. Ito ang response nila kay Joshua. All that you have commanded us, we will do. And whatever you send us, we will go. Verse 17, just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you. And as he was with Moses, whoever rebels against your commandments and disobey your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Now, ito yung nakakatuwang palitan dito, no? They served the Lord together. They pledged their loyalty towards King Joshua. As Joshua reminded God's people and encouraged them, ganun din ang ginawa nila. They also reminded him of God's word and encouraged Joshua. Do you see the beauty in church? We come to remind each other with God's word and be encouraged and grow. Friends, we should be serving one another. We should be growing together. As iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpens the other. There's a lot has been said. We have seen yung pagkilos ng Panginoon sa life ni Joshua. We have seen that he has strengthened him through his promise, his presence, his precepts, and through his people. God sent Joshua in order to save his people by leading them to Canaan, a place of rest flowing with milk and honey. They entered the place and conquered it. Yun ang story ng Joshua. They conquered it. Nakuha nila ang promised land. Nasakop nila. Bagamat hindi yung iba, pero karamihan. You know, thousands of years after, there was another Joshua. However, this Joshua is different. This Joshua was also sent by God in order to save his people from their sins. This Joshua entered into the world of humanity and took their form. Like the first Joshua, he strengthened him with God's word, strengthened him with God's presence, strengthened him with God's precepts. But unlike the first Joshua, he never disobeyed. This second, Joshua came to save God's people, not by conquering a land, but by conquering death. His death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, has saved God's people from their sins. You see, the name Joshua is a Hebrew name that when you translate it to Greek, means Jesus. Jesus is the greater Joshua. Jesus Christ is the new Joshua. He can be your Savior today, for He has conquered death and sin and Satan for you. Friends, kung bago ka rito and you do not have a relationship with Christ, the Bible is saying, repent from your sins and trust this greater Joshua, Jesus Christ, for forgiveness of your sins and to restore your relationship with God the Father. One day, this greater Joshua will come back. And when we all will see that the battle is truly, it truly belongs sa greater Joshua na ito. With this blessed hope, friends, we can live a life of boldness. Kung yun ang ating direction, yun ang ating future, if there is sufficient means and graces na binibigyan ng Panginoon, I challenge you, take bold steps of obedience for God, for His glory, and for the edification of God's people. Because God strengthens His servants through His promises, His presence, His precepts, and people to boldly accomplish His will. Let's pray. Such a sweet promise, Father, that You said that You will have never left us, nor have You forsaken us. I cannot help but be reminded there are so many people who have left us, betrayed us, and had forsaken us. Thank You for Jesus, who was forsaken in our place on the cross. Thank You that You have given Your life to us. I pray for those, Lord, who are hearing the gospel and hindi nyo pa anak, save them. For those who You have saved, I pray that You would continue to challenge them to take bold steps of obedience, not by themselves, but together as a family. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.